This CD is the seventh in a series of 9 CDs from a retreat entitled Divine Will, Man's Origin, Means, and Destiny, given by Father Robert Young during the weekend of May 5th through May 7th of 2017. The subject matter of this presentation is more questions and answers with Father Young.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, divine will, come and reign in us, and through us come to reign more and more upon this earth and in this universe. Come to learn in us for the good of all souls, so that all will benefit from our acts of learning today. Come, divine will, and may what we learn help us, but also help each other and all of the souls of all time to know the great gift that your will is for us and what baptism truly is all about. Come, divine will, and listen in our listening, speak in our speaking, be with us in every moment, and may we be with you in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a little promotion time, but some of you are asking about the program and how to access. There's a page we had printed. It's over where the ladies are over there. Not too many left, but if we need more, we can have more for tomorrow. This tells you how to access the program on the websites. There are 3 websites. The one I highly recommend is the first one because it's a newer one and very easy, very simple to access. And you'll find also on that website an introduction program that I did a few years ago. I think somebody's mentioned it. It's 18 hours of introduction. It's also, by the way, a very good thing if somebody wants to learn more, to introduce them to it. So what it does is it places the divine will in the context of the catechism, scripture, and teachings of the church. That was the approach I took. So, as I try to do. So it's that website is divinewilllife.org. It's written on this program. If you'd like to receive the program every week in a condensed form, that is the 55 minutes where you can listen to it anytime you want, you sign up at that same website, divinewilllife.org, and there's a way to sign on there, and it will send you automatically the program every week. Also, if you'd like to write to me in terms to ask, there's so many, you know, in the world now living in the divine will, it's hard for me to answer specific questions on email. I get about 100 a day, so but I am happy to receive emails regarding missions for the divine will. So if you're interested in wherever you live, if it's not here, because I think we have quite a bit going on in this area, but if you live in another area and or know someone would like to have a mission, a retreat, conference, whatever, you can write to me there. I am booked for this year, but I am taking invitations for next year. So what else? The email address. It's not on here, but this is the email address. Divine Will Ministries at live.com or live. Divine Will Ministries at live.com is the ministry email address. That's not a website, that's an email address if you're interested in. I do not normally have anything to do with materials, that is books, audios, CDs, except for the internet audio of the program. So I don't sell books. I just can't. And I don't have people who can do it. So go to Roger and Sonny for that. But I am able to sometimes help provide the resources for those books. Okay, any questions about that? Yes, Don.
Can we go on your website by the show where you're going to be?
Yes, we've been trying to do that. Unfortunately, it's not very current at the moment. But there is a schedule of events or something like that you'll see on there. There are also blogs. They call them blogs. I don't know what to call them. They're just recordings of other things besides the radio program. So, for example, if we were allowed to publish to publish the audios from this retreat. We have the capacity now to do that. I have a wonderful webmaster now who's doing a great job of adding things. So thanks be to God is right. And not to pay them is, whew, I know you have your own here in Tom Fedor, so you're very blessed as well. But it's very helpful to have these resources. And of course, there are many others besides mine that others can tell you about. But of course, I'm hoping you'll be able to benefit from these as well. But a lot of people, once they start getting the emails, really appreciate it because it comes right to your email address. You just hit the play button and you've got Father Robert anytime you want, day or night. I put a lot of people to sleep at night, I'm told. So, but feel free to receive it. Everything's free. The mission, the ministry is funded by donations only. I receive nothing from the Franciscans. In fact, I pay the Franciscans to allow me to do this because we all have to contribute. Normally, I'd be making a salary in a parish. That goes straight to my community. And, of course, they provide for all my needs. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. I have to pay them a salary to let me do this work. So this is not, when I say for my mission, I'm not just saying it's supporting me. It's also helping in some ways to support the friars. But I couldn't do it if I didn't. They wouldn't allow it. And by the way, you've been extremely generous here, and I'm very grateful. And let me just say that when one group like this is generous, it allows me to go to places where people can't afford it. I've been to places they can't even afford my travel. So thank you so much for making the Divine Will accessible to other people. I went to one place recently. They didn't even take up donations. So I even bear the brunt of the travel, and that's okay. I'm happy to do it for the Kingdom of the Divine Will, but I couldn't do it if it weren't for you. So thank you so much for your generosity making it possible, because I don't ask. I don't have a stipend. People say, well, what do you charge? Nothing. This is God wants you to have this. If you can help others and, you know, keep the mission going, that's a great blessing. But there's no charge. Everything, I think, in the Divine Will should be as free as possible. We only charge, as I know Roger does, only for the cost that it costs him to print the books. And that's the way it should be. Hopefully, anytime. Anyway, anything else on that? Questions about that? All right. There were some other questions. I just want to read a couple of things. This is one of my favorite letters. You know who Federico Abresh is? I know a lot of you know Federico. He was he's no longer living, but Federico was one of the first to. He was a spiritual son of Padre Pio. He's the one who was not a Catholic when he heard about this priest, and he went very kind of sarcastically and skeptically to confession to Padre Pio before he was a Catholic. And before he could speak, Padre Pio said, "Get out of here, you dog of the church." He knew that he was not Catholic before he opened his mouth. And it happened again. And Padre Pio said, "Get out of here, you dog of the church." So finally, he came back and he said, "Father, if you knew that I was not Catholic when I came," he said, "I want to be a Catholic." So he converted. He was a son of Padre Pio. He learned about Luisa and after his conversion became a great devotee of the Divine Will. He started the first, was instrumental in starting the first group in San Giovanni Rotondo together with a beautiful lady who just died, I understand, Adriana Pelotti. Some of you have met her. Adriana was a beautiful soul. She was the last living, I think, person to have been a part of that group of the Divine Will that Padre Pio oversaw and blessed, by the way. And so Federico would be kind of a little messenger between Luisa and Padre Pio. They never met, the two saints, but they knew about each other a lot, so much so that Padre Pio would say to people who came from Corrado, "Why are you coming to me? You have your own saint." He called her the angel of Corrado. He says, "You have your own, she's an angel in Corrado," and he would send people to her. So in any case, Federico is very important. We still have, by the way, some recordings of him teaching the divine will in Italian, if you know Italian. He has a very beautiful voice, very soft, very gentle, and very loving voice when he talks about it. So Federico Abers, this letter, I like very much. I don't see a date on it. The number on it, because they are numbered, is 47 if you go to the collection of Luis's letters. So this is written to him, Dearest Son in the Divine Volition, by Luisa. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, it's a long one, but she says, as far as weaknesses, miseries, and the like, don't worry. As long as our will is not there, because only then is it our ruin, only when our will enters it. She says, but they can serve as footstool, our weakness and miseries, on which the divine volition forms its throne in order to conquer us and reign, or to serve as the crushed stone and rubble. We heard Jesus yesterday say ashes. One wants, upon which one wants to build a house, or is ground in the hands of our celestial Father, who makes of our miseries that are without our will the most beautiful bloomings in order to extend his kingdom. Everything serves his glory and our good in the divine hands of the fiat. However, I recommend that you do not think about your miseries and weaknesses. The more one thinks about them, the more one feels them. On the other hand, if one does not think about them, they disappear and one feels them less. More so, since sweet Jesus does not look at what we feel, but what we want. Even more, many times he feels compassion for us. He increases his grace and his strength in order to make our miseries stay in their place. It's a great phrase. To make our miseries stay in their place. Besides, in wanting that we live in his will, dear Jesus does not want to deal with the dead, but with the living. Our miseries say that we are alive and not dead. And wanting to be the conqueror, he conquers them and makes of them the most beautiful ornament for his kingdom. The miseries he's talking about are what? What would you call our miseries or weaknesses, our inclinations towards perhaps certain vices, that kind of thing? But this is the teaching that Luisa has learned from Jesus, that, and by the way, Padre Pio would say this too. He says, there may be ignorance, but if your will is not involved, there cannot be serious sin. Because there are three things that make a sin. You have to know that it's gravely evil. You have to, I always forget the second one. You have to know that it's evil. And the third is that you have to freely choose to do that evil and freely choose. So, and of course, that puts a lot of sin into a questionable zone because a lot of people aren't free, especially the way they're raised today or addictions, etc. But in any case, as long as the will is not involved, and I think this is important, that God uses everything. It's different if we willfully choose evil, because our will has chosen something other than the divine will. And that can be venial sins too. But he's saying our miseries, our deficiencies, you know, especially as we get older sometimes, our weaknesses of mind or body. But there are also moral weaknesses, you know, that people or can inherit. You know, there's inclinations towards certain addictions today that people inherit. It's in the genes. So some of these things, he's saying, if it's your weakness, if you're just kind of naturally impatient, or what can we say, or jealous, you know, or other faults and failings, as long as we don't willfully choose to be that way and to act on those passions, then there's really no sin, and God can use it all on which to build his kingdom. Why is that important? Because this is not about our perfection. Okay? This is not going to make us perfect in the human order. Hopefully it's going to make us holy, but holiness and perfection are not the same thing. The scribes and the Pharisees were, according to the law, were perfect, but they were not holy. So when Jesus says it's not about virtue, that's what he's saying. This is not about your human perfection that you can achieve even with grace. This is about something else. This is about God's will conquering our will, and that's what he wants. And when that will is one with his, and he's claimed it, and he possesses it, and we possess his, he's going to tolerate a whole lot of weakness. In fact, he says, I will leave some weakness in you because I want to be sure that you always know you're nothing without me. And I want you to know just how little you are and how powerless you are to do anything good on your own. And until we come to that knowledge and that awareness, we haven't really achieved poverty of spirit. Poverty of spirit is the recognition, the lived experience and understanding that without God we can do nothing. Nothing good whatsoever. And so we become then more and more dependent on God. So we don't get discouraged by these weaknesses, these miseries, you know, the moods we may go through, or the, you know, people, a lot of people struggle today with all kinds of depression and things like discouragements and stuff. We don't want to indulge them. He says, don't dwell on them. But at the same time, invite the divine will into them and put them in the divine will. Jesus says in the hours of the Passion, I went through every state that a soul could ever go through when I was on earth, because I wanted to sanctify it. And I wanted to offer it to the Father so that it could be healed and it could be redeemed. He wants us to do that with him. And he says, I'll let you sometimes go through all those states, conditions of mind and soul as well. The important thing is that we do not go through them alone. We go through them with Jesus, and we offer it with Jesus and everything that he suffered for us. And then he can redeem those. And as he says so beautifully many times, then I build my kingdom on those ashes, because I'm going to burn all that up. That's why he says, my will is going to pulverize those things in your life. Does it happen all at once? Not in my experience. But it happens over time. And he will bring us then to the level, the heights of sanctity to which we have been destined and to which we've been called. But we don't try to do it, how do I say it, by avoiding or necessarily escaping all of these weaknesses and miseries of our lives. Okay? Sometimes they're our greatest gifts. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. It could be a physical thorn in the flesh, a suffering, chronic pain. It could be some hurts from our childhood. It could be those kinds of abuse or things that happen so frequently in families today. It can be anything that's our woundedness. He's saying, don't run from that, but bring it to me, unite it with what I've done to heal it in the divine will, and let's offer it together to the Father. And then that in itself brings the kingdom to earth in a very powerful way, the most powerful way possible. It's not so hard, if you're like me, to feel the divine will very close, and when I'm doing rounds of creation, enjoying, you know, all the blessings of the world and God's gifts to us. But to do the rounds of redemption when I'm experiencing other things, you know, perhaps discouragement or hurt or whatever, humiliations, they happen to all of us. That's another. That's the real challenge, isn't it? And to unite that with Jesus in the will of God is so very, very powerful. He says it's pure gold, but how many of us don't know it? I think that's what poverty of spirit is about. So we embrace that. And somebody was saying, well, you know, could you say something about how do we give our fiat? How do we embrace the will of God with love? And if we don't do it with love for God and for other people, for even those who hurt us, then it's not gonna be fully in the will of God, because the will of God is always about love. Love is the one eternal act of God's will. Do we always feel love? No. Love is not a feeling. You've been to Marriage Encounter. Love is a decision. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. That's why it takes a will to love. Because only a will that is free can love. You can't force love. You can't buy love. It's an act of the freedom of the human will or the divine will or the angelic will. The only three beings that have a will. So we do our best, and we all fail at it. None of us does it perfectly. But please remember, this is not about perfection on the human level. It is about sanctification and allowing Jesus to perfect in us who are being sanctified. Let him perfect us by the power of the will of God. That's what we're about here. So yes, we give our fiat, not always easy, but we give it only when we know the power of the fiat. And when our fiat's united to the eternal fiat, it has infinite, eternal, universal value to glorify God, to save souls, and to make reparation for sin. Somebody else just asked, it's a very good question. You know, if we're supposed to live in the present moment, the eternal now, in the divine will, as we are, why do we make reparation? Because reparation's about the past. It's about sin that's already occurred and evil that already has happened. So why are we making reparation always for the past? Well, it's not that we're dwelling on the past, but because the divine will is eternal, it's not limited to time. So while we're living in the present moment, we still have access to the past and the future in the will of God to help souls in the past and the future to be saved, to be healed, to be reconciled with God, etc., to make reparation for the evil that's done, because that's what Jesus did. And that's the simplest answer, is that Jesus did it. And Jesus did it once for all in his humanity, but his humanity is now glorified in heaven, as he says to Louisa. So how is it going to continue on earth? Through my humanity on earth, which is the church, which is my suffering humanity that's still here. That's the church militant on earth. So he depends on us. You know, God needs us. If God can need anything, he needs us to continue his mission to bring the world into this kingdom and the kingdom into the world. And of course, the way he did it was through the cross, primarily. And he said that was not just when he died, but from every moment of his life, he was suffering the crucifixion of his will, his human will, to the divine will. So, again, it's not hard to do when things are going well. It's much harder to do when they're not, and to crucify our will to all the things that we want to go against. You know, Louisa spent those first years of her life just learning how to conquer her will. And he took away all grace and all support for 3 years so she would learn just what she was capable of without him. Remember that? I don't like to read it, but it was pretty awful. And he wanted her to know just what she was capable of without grace, without his help. And sometimes he'll let us experience that too, won't he? Sometimes he can take away all the support, all the help. We can go through terrible things in life. I mean, and people are going through them even now, certainly in Syria and other parts of the world. Poor Christians, you know, in Egypt. And so we're one with them, and we should be united with them and what they're living through. But in our own lives, it touches us, of course, most deeply. Some of you have lost children. I think it's one of the greatest sufferings that we can know on earth is to lose a child. Or any a spouse, somebody we've deeply loved in our lives. So all of those things, though, are the pure gold of the kingdom, he says. They can become the pure gold of the kingdom if we allow it. So let's see. I wanted to answer this one, too. This is about the rounds, because I think sometimes the rounds can... especially for us at the beginning, most people I know don't really start doing rounds as a form of prayer until a bit later in their journey in the divine will. But the question is, are the acts of the rounds more powerful than the daily acts in the divine will, or is it the intention and disposition of the soul that gives the opportunity of the divine will to act? It's a very good question, because the rounds are very important as two things. They're a form of prayer, and they're also a way of life. So we do rounds when we sit down to intentionally say, I love you, back to God, for all the things that God's given us and done for us in his three works: creation, redemption, sanctification. Louisa did those very intentionally. She spent a lot of time doing them. And it seems that the older she got, the more importance she seemed to place on them. So we don't want in any way deny their importance of praying that way. Some of us might find it difficult. Our attention span might be getting weaker as we get older, and we don't have that ability to spend a lot of time in doing rounds. I know the author of the Black Book is a hermit, and he has all these, I don't know how many times a day he does, you know, he's got a sequence. I'll do these rounds at this time and these rounds at this time. And if you remember in the back of the Be Faithful and Attentive, well, I always, you know, when people ask me about that, I say, well, he's a hermit. He has nothing else to do. Most of us are not hermits, and we'd have a lot of other things to do. But it's still something we hopefully will be growing in through our lives. But the consolation to it is this, and that is that everything we do, every act is a round. Everything is a receiving, restoring, returning to God. Everything's completing the divine cycle of what God has done, continues to do, and will do. Okay? So every act is a round. So the question is, are the rounds we pray when we sit down to do them deliberately as rounds, are they as important or more important than the acts we do? Well, it's hard, you know, it's not an easy question. Probably in one sense, I'd have to say, as they become more important in the Book of Heaven, we might have to say they're more important in this aspect, the rounds, the intentional rounds. You know, we talk about, let me just make this analogy, contemplative prayer in the church, that we're all called to be contemplatives, that we're all called to live in mystical union with God. And we're all called to pray unceasingly. But if you don't spend some time in prayer, contemplation or some form of prayer, you're probably not going to pray unceasingly. You see, it's the practice of the discipline of prayer itself that becomes habitual, so you do it all the time, and you become a living prayer. Well, it's the same with the rounds. If we don't spend some time doing the rounds, we're probably not going to have our acts becoming rounds in the same way. You see, but at the same time, that all acts are important. And the idea is, of course, not to do, that's why it's never a formula, it's never only a way to pray at certain times. It's a way of prayer, but it's a way of unceasing prayer. It's a way of continuous prayer, that everything we do is around. Everything is completing the cycle of God creating, redeeming, and sanctifying us. So, again, if I know that, if I have that intention in all of my acts, even in every heartbeat and breath, even though I can't think of the whole thing every time, But I know it's possible. And I say, Lord, I can't think of this all the time. I'm not capable of being that conscious of it. But this is what I want my acts to be. This is what I want my breaths and my heartbeats and my words and my steps to be. Then he says, that intention is what I see, and that's the soul of those acts. But again, we want it to be as continuous as we can and therefore as intentional as we can. And that happens a lot by praying in the divine will, doing rounds in the divine will. There's no escaping that. It's just not. And again, it's not a formula. There's no one way to do it. The beginning, I love those prayers myself. You heard the one I say before Mass. I still love to say it. But at the same time, we gotta make it our own. Come up with your own little prayers that you say, that are your mantras, your little prayer phrases. You know, St. Hannibal loved, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Fiat voluntas tua. That's a beautiful one. It's a very good one. I learned to pray, contemplate with the last word of the Bible, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. To me, it's a beautiful sound. It's a beautiful way to remind myself of the fiat and being in God's will. Come divine will. It's very simple. He taught Louisa, as you know, various ways of saying it. But and come up with your own. I love it's called the doxology at Mass, the high point of the Mass. Everything comes to that grand conclusion of through him, with him, in him. I like to say that, through, with, and in your will, Lord, I do this together with you. Through your heart, with your love and your will. Those are, you know, but we come up with our own and make them personal. God wants to see us possess the kingdom of his will. That means it's got to be our own. Very uniquely, Thomas Merton said, when God created you, he created a way to himself that will never be repeated. You will go to God, and God will come to you in a unique way that will never be repeated again in the history of the world. Therefore, your way of living in the divine will is going to be different from anybody else's. That's why it can't be a formula. It wouldn't be personal. It wouldn't be yours if it's a formula. We need the prayers. We need those formulas. As I say, I like them too. But at the same time, really, if you're going to use those formulas, make them your own. Really mean what you're saying and don't do it by rote. This is not a recitation of words. It's got to come from the heart. So we want it to be filled with love, receiving that love, restoring that love, and returning that love to God the Father. Can you remind us how these acts are used for God's glory and for helping others? How and why are words I don't know how to answer. How, I don't know. That's up to God, how he uses the acts for his glory. I do believe that because of the power of his will, that they glorify God in a way that nothing else can. That's simply because God's doing the acts. He needs my human acts. He needs my human will with those acts to make them happen because he wants it here. He's not asking the angels to do this, although they're in his will perfectly, those who didn't fall. He's not asking them. He's asking us because we're the ones who were created to live this way on earth. The angels are not earthly beings. They're heavenly beings. He sends them, allows them to help us on earth. That's what their name means. They're messengers, but they don't live here. So some of the bad angels do, but the good angels, the good angels are only with us. Do you know too, I don't know how, you know, I can't have any sources for this, but I've heard in some spiritual writers who have had these revelations that the angel you have as your guardian angel will only be yours and is only sent to accompany you in this life and goes with you, escorts you to heaven, and then their mission is over. And so your angel is very unique. And I like to believe that. I think it must be true. And God has given you that angel just for you. And we need to honor those angels. I honor mine as much as I can. Pray to them. Unite your acts with the acts of your guardian angel. Because those acts are perfectly in the divine will. So we unite our acts with, and we want to unite them with all those who've done it perfectly, because they're the most powerful in giving God perfect glory. But we also want to unite them with all those who've lived in the divine will, and even those who are just trying to live a good Christian life. But we do want to include Louisa in uniting with her acts too. And I include St. Hannibal, because we know he did. Anything else in the last 2 minutes before we have a blessing? Anything confused or confusing? I don't mind being corrected either. If I say something out of line, please tell me. Let me just close with this passage and then we'll have a blessing. This is from volume one. You know, I'm learning from a lot of you. I used to never go back to the early volumes. I just love the higher ones so much. But the early ones are really important. And they're important because we never stop growing in the disposition. And we never have arrived in terms of being completely disposed to living in God's will. And that's where Louisa learns, through the virtues, which are necessary to be disposed, but also through the attitude, what Jesus calls the divine attitude of living in his will. So this is from volume one. She says, "After I tried to exercise myself in these things for some time, now doing it, now failing, although I see clearly that I still lack the spirit of uprightness, and I am ever more confused, thinking of my great ingratitude, he spoke to me, and he made me understand the necessity of the spirit of mortification. And although I remember in all these things that he told me, he always added one thing, that everything should be done for love of him, and that the most beautiful virtues, the greatest sacrifices, would become bitter if they did not take their origin from love. Charity, he said to me, is a virtue that gives life and splendor to all the other virtues, in such a way that without it, they are all dead. My eye receives no attraction. They have no power over my heart. Be careful then, and let your works, even the least," and we could say your acts, "even the least, be invested always by love that is in me, with me, and for me." And this blessing given to Louisa in volume 18, October 10th, 1925. "My daughter, my son, I bless you with my whole heart. Even more, I bless my very will in you. I bless your thoughts, I bless your breaths, I bless your heartbeats, that you may think always about my will. May you breathe my will continuously. May my will alone be your heartbeat. And for love of you, I bless all human wills, that they may dispose themselves to receive the life of my one eternal act, my eternal fiat." May God bless you, keep you in that heaven of his will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.